Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Voice of the Cape, Drive Time, welcome back to the show. 072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp line. Feel free to query, comment, and or criticize. Later on in the show, if we do some What's Trending, I'm going to talk maybe about this interaction on in social media where this person who is a private banker has said some very, very bad things about Muslims. It's definitely hate speech. But to other matters at hand, military lockdown and restrictions continue for the 100th consecutive day today in occupied Kashmir following the Indian invasion of August the 5th, which has abrogated the special legal status of that part of the valley. Meanwhile, a top resistance leader has urged Pakistan Prime Minister Mr. Imran Khan to withdraw from all aspects of his peace accords with India. Online is research associate at the Center for Islam and Global Affairs, Riaz Al-Khalik. Riaz, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Drive Time.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much, Mr. Morton.
Riaz, let's have a look. We are getting absolutely no news of what's happening in Kashmir, particularly the Indian side of things. Have you been able to get any news out of Kashmir at all as to what's happening? Because it's been 100 days, which is 10 days over 3 months. That's a long time to have a shutdown.
Yeah, I mean, getting straight to the point, the thing is that it is the 100th day today that the communications were completely snapped by Indian government in Indian administered Jammu and Kashmir. Hours before August 5, when they scrapped all special provisions guaranteed by Indian Constitution under Articles 370 and 35A. What has happened is basically the major hit has been the information gathering, information production, and information dissemination to the world, what is happening with over 12 million people who live in Indian administered Jammu and Kashmir. Besides moving in a huge number of troops, the newspaper reports claim that now it is nearly a million Indian troops who are posted, deployed across the length and breadth of the Indian administered Jammu and Kashmir. The government, what it has done is it has managed to manage media in Kashmir. Before we basically explain what is happening right now, I would like our listeners to know about a report which was published in 2017 February by a reputed Indian national daily, which said it was an Indian Interior Ministry report, Indian Home Ministry report. The report said that if Indian government wants to manage Kashmir narrative, it will have to do three things: to control media, to control masjid, and to control madrasa. But to a lot of extent, it has already controlled media now. What it has done, everything is now internet-driven. On August 5, it completely snapped even landline, fiber-based internet, and with the passage of time of 2 months, it restored a few thousand landline-based phones, then post-paid mobile phones, which are mostly used by the government officials. And for your information and for the information of the audiences who are listening to this conversation, landline phones are now almost, they are dead, you know. Now, since mobile boom, people use now cell phones. Landline phones are in Jammu and Kashmir, mostly used by government and the military establishment. So what I'm saying is that the restoration of the phone lines and the postpaid mobile phones is basically restoring the communication among the government, mostly among the government officials or the military establishment which is there. Today, Since this internet was, this landline-based phones were restored, and government had established a single, what it called as, media facilitation center. From there, the reporters, it was first impossible for reporters to move around, to gather information, to process it, and to disseminate it to the world. Now, a bit of ease has come, and the government has opened its one of the rooms of its own information department, which the journalists are using, but there are just 8 desktops which are connected to the internet through lines, and the journalists outnumber, you know, they are almost over 200. Not only journalists, then there are the newspapers. In Kashmir, there are over 100, the valley, there are over 100 newspapers. So there is huge rush remains there. And yesterday, a few colleagues were telling me, and they were able to post some messages on Twitter, that the government officials, you know, I don't know how to put it, they told them that the freelancers are not allowed to use the internet facility. And for the information of the audiences, the most of the information which came out since August 5 is because of the freelancers who work either for the news websites or in India or outside in the outer world. The Kashmir-based media, I have been myself a news reporter back in Kashmir for several years. The newspapers, I check the mainstream newspaper every morning and every evening, several times a day. No one has been able to update its website. So what basically is that the attempts are there to block that information from coming out. And when it comes out, then there is another machinery which try to portray the information which is disseminated by international media as false, fake media. Now, this is the situation right now. Although what I would say is that, yeah, there have been some easiness today. Journalists in Kashmir, they held protest demonstration. They were raising posters and postcards and banners that stop humiliating Kashmiri journalists. And I won't what I say exaggerate it, but I'm proud that Kashmir has produced one of the best journalists in South Asia. And it is very sad to see how they are being treated. Yes, over to you, Mr. Morton.
Yes, indeed, that's a very thorough response. So we can safely say that no reliable news whatsoever is coming out of Kashmir, because we certainly don't trust the news that we are hearing at the moment. We don't trust it at all.
Well, what I would say is that international media, mostly from America, or for if I name New York Times, Washington Post, Associated Press, and a little bit of Anadolu agency in Turkey, and then if we go to the AFP, EFE, they have been alternative world for that matter. Al Jazeera, to a alternative world to a large extent, Al Jazeera, they have been able to get information out of Kashmir. And we should, trust that. It's not so easy to get a story published in these world-reputed organizations. But after my conversations with my colleagues back home, the scant conversation, not that open or not that expanded, what I would sense is, it is only 30 to 40% what has been reported or what has been going on since August 5. It is just 40% of that or 30% of that. We have seen mass-scale human rights abuses, torture, detentions, many civil society organizations from India were able to visit Kashmir, and they reported how 13,000 boys have been picked up and their parents don't know where they are. There is a complete, there is no dissent. Whosoever talks, so now people do not even talk. And yesterday, it was very, after a long time, it is second statement by Kashmir's top resistance leader, who is now 92 years old and has been a very reputed voice among the pro-freedom camp, which should demand a right to self-determination for the people of Jammu and Kashmir across the line of control, for right to determine their future of the people which live on both sides of the line of control in Indian administered Jammu and Kashmir and Pakistani administered Kashmir, which is called as Azad Kashmir, and then the northern province of Gilgit-Baltistan, which is basically part of, which was basically part of the pre-1947 Jammu and Kashmir. Sayyidina Gilani, I'm talking about that. Today, basically yesterday evening, I got to read a statement from him calling on Pakistan to snap all peace pacts with India whatsoever, be it Tashkent Agreement, be it Lahore Agreement, be it Shimla Agreement, whatever the signs, bilateral agreements they have signed. He has called on Pakistan to respond to what India has done on August 5, that it has annexed Kashmir, and Pakistan need to respond to it. Why? Because Pakistan is a party to this dispute. So it should snap. It has already downgraded its diplomatic relations with India. It has sent back Indian envoy to India, and it has called back its envoy from New Delhi, who was basically appointed newly, and he was yet to assume his position, and they told him, just don't go, don't assume. So they have downgraded the relations, but of course, I mean, one of the very, what we say is, one of the heart-winning initiatives by Pakistan, and then it was, of course, reciprocated by India after much discussions, the Kartarpur peace corridor, that Pakistan opened its eastern border for Sikh pilgrims who can visit the birthplace of their Guru Nanak, who is the founder of Sikhism. So that was one of the big, I would say, heart-winning initiatives, although many people critiqued it, asking Imran Khan that it should have waited because of what India has done in Kashmir on August 5. And it has, what it has done is it has completely locked it down. It has not let people, talk to their loved ones. It has not let patients go to avail necessary health and medical facilities. Education is, I mean, to tell you, nearly 1 million children have not been able to go to schools. It is so sad. Businesses are shut. Almost 140,000 jobs have been lost in business, in the tour and travel operators, the cargo companies. Their businesses have completely been shut. They are sitting home with their hands in pockets with no money. So there is a lot of stress on the ground as well. Those who would earn in the day and eat in the night, those things have been, those things. But one thing I would say, since Kashmiris have been resisting it for the last 72 years now, and even before that, when autocrat Maharaja Hindu Dugra was ruling the Muslim majority state and he was oppressing people, but people resisted. We are an agrarian society. People have lands. So what we do is we do farming. We have a bit of rice as well and vegetables. But the situation in cities, it's very tough. People need to speak on it. When we see the Kashmiris are now saying, that they are veiling the double standards of the international community. That on one hand, they can criticize any country, or for that matter, European Union. It leaves no time to criticize Turkey for what it is doing on its southern border, its actions against terrorists, and they start moving against Turkey for raising the alarm of human rights and all that. But when it comes to India, which literally locked down 8 million people, there is no communication, there is no internet, the same European Union is silent. And what India did recently is it flew over 20 members of the European Union Parliament to Kashmir, and it was all strike, it was all lockdown. It tried to sell an idea that everything was a so-called normal in Kashmir, which never is normal, it's a routine thing. So that also failed. That attempt also failed. Before that, a few senators from America wanted to visit Kashmir. They were not allowed by India. Even for your information, you're a senior journalist. If you wish to visit Kashmir tomorrow, you will have to seek first permission from the Interior Minister of India. And since August 5, no foreign journalists have been given that permission. And even before that, it would take a lot of time. So basically, what has been the focus of the government, whatever they have been doing, is to restrict the information from coming out so that it does not come before the world what is happening inside Kashmir. You know, I mean, now information is a right. It is being considered as a human right. That is being completely denied. And over and above it, 2 days before Muslims across the world, I mean, most of Muslims observed the Rabiul Milad. And it's for the first time in Kashmir that the people were restricted from visiting the huge, the grand mosques or the shrines. A few number of people, which it seemed was state-managed, because, like 20, 30 people. And for the information of the audiences, I have been doing myself reporting on it, that tens of hundreds of people would come together in famous Hazrat Bal Shrine on these special occasions, which are very holy and close to their hearts, part of their faith of Muslims living in Indian administered Jammu and Kashmir.
Riaz Al-Khalik, Research Associate at Center for Islam and Global Affairs. Thanks for talking to us about the military lockdown in Kashmir. Riaz Al-Khalik is himself Kashmiri, and he's an exile in Turkey. But Riaz, shukran, thanks for chatting to us. All everything of the best.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.